First, let me be just a little bit on the lighter side. Based on passage, the last passage that he gave there, do you realize that I have probably more beauty than most preachers in the brotherhood? How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel? And I wear a 15. I said that was on the lighter side, John. On the serious side, let me ask you to think about something. John was pointing out how things really begin in an area as far as the church is concerned, particularly how just 2 years ago, Kevin and Lynn went into this area with the church basically non-existent. And in 2 years, they've baptized 11 or 12 and have that many worshiping and studying with others. It's hard for you and me to realize today that sometime back years ago, there were some people that came into this area and started the church. I grew up in Middle Tennessee, and I've heard stories about particularly one man, a man by the name of Harris, who came into Middle Tennessee back in perhaps the mid-1800s, maybe even the early 1800s, and started through that area with, I guess, brush arbors and things of that nature, gospel meetings. And that area is one of the strongest areas in the church and the brotherhood now in Middle Tennessee, the area from whence I came. And even the congregation here started in 98 with 16 people, I believe it was, that started. And it's hard for us to go back and think about that because we have so many wonderful things now, buildings in which we can meet and so many other things. And yet every one of us started because of somebody like John and Aaron coming into our area and starting to preach the gospel and to teach the gospel as it is and help us to understand it. And I believe that there is a brochure, John, that you have out there that details the specifics. I've already seen one of those before tonight, and that'll give us an opportunity to know some of the specifics. And certainly our prayers will be with you, and we will discuss other possibilities as at the appropriate time. Our lesson tonight had been mentioned as Build on the Rock. You remember we're in the series on Sunday night of Bible stones and Bible rocks. We looked at this in general 4 weeks ago, and then after that, 3 weeks ago, and then after that, we talked about stones that Jesus will not move, talking about our own responsibilities and what he expects of us. And then last Sunday night, we dealt with the lesson Built on the Rock, especially from Matthew 16, that Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." The church was built on the rock. And when John was talking tonight about soundness, that's really what he was talking about. That our soundness is to be built on the rock. And tonight we're talking about build on the rock. I have no idea how many times down through the years I have done this and talked about the wise man built his house on the rock. And the rains came down and the floods came up and the foolish man built his house on the sand. I have no idea how many times I have sung that song in vacation Bible schools and camp work. And if we're not careful, we will let that passage of Scripture become basically that song that we sing without really thinking about what is involved. That is one of the most important passages of Scripture in the Bible. And we need to realize that in backing up just a little bit, we have an introduction to that story that is so important in our work. Beginning at verse 21 in Matthew 7, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And he says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I memorized those three verses years ago, and I knew the story of the wise man and the foolish man, but I think there was a period of time when I had not made the connection that those verses are all together, dealing with the basic idea, the same basic idea in all of them. He said there are some people who are going to say, Lord, have we not done all these things in thy name? And I suspect that many of the people that John and Aaron will meet, of those that are the Christian, general type Christian persuasion, will say that same thing. Well, we've been doing all these things in the name of the Lord. But then he says there's something that is necessary for you to be able to be building in the right way. And he gives us that story. There was a wise man that built his house on the rock. The rains came down and the floods came up and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it stood because it was on the rock. There was a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the floods came up, the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell because it was built on the sand. Now I want to just make a few basic conclusions tonight and share with you some ideas because we're shortening the lesson a little bit. In the first place, we need to understand that every person is going to build a house. In Hebrews 3, 3 through 5, the Hebrew writer talks about this. And he says that Moses was faithful in his house, and Jesus is over his house, whose house we are. But he makes a statement there, I believe it's in verse 4 of Hebrews 3, every house is built by some man. Every one of us is going to build a spiritual house. And basically, we're going to build according to one of the two ways that's described in Matthew 7. I want you to notice, first of all, how the wise man and the foolish man were alike. We've just made one point. They both built a house. And notice also that they both faced the difficulties of life. They faced the things that could beat upon that house. The rains came on both of them. It rained on the wise man, it rained on the foolish man. It rained on the wise man's house, it rained on the foolish man's house. Floods came up. Floods were there in the presence of the wise man's house. They were there in the presence of the foolish man's house. The storms came. The winds blew and beat upon the house. That's said of both of them. The storms came against the wise man's house and the storms came against the foolish man's house. One of them stood and one of them did not. The wise man's house stood and the foolish man's house fell. And in the story of the physical aspect of it, the reason that the wise man's house stood was it was built on rock. And the reason the foolish man's house fell, it was built on the sand. That's the only difference in those two. One was built on the rock and one was built on the sand. Everything else is alike as far as the facts of that little story that we sing about. And you know, today, as you watch the aftermath of some of the storms that come, whether it be a hurricane in Florida or Louisiana, or a tornado in one of the other states, or that great storm that just came recently that hit New York and New Jersey, and almost without exception, in every area that is shown, there will be some houses standing and some that are not standing. There have been a few instances where the storm was so great that it literally wiped everything clean. But usually there will be something standing and there will be something that failed. And as we study that, we usually come up with the conclusion that this house was built from plans that had stronger ideas in it. And so it has stood. And this one was not built to meet the code. and so it has fallen. I remember when the tornado went across the southern part of Jackson a few years ago, the one that wiped out the fire station, Richard, and George, you remember George Smith Funeral Home was right next to it. There was one little room, seems to me like about maybe 6x6 or something like that, at the funeral home that was still standing. It was in the center of that building, and apparently was built in probably the strongest way, or at least was not to where the storm affected it as much. And I've been to several places where tornadoes went through, and there would be a house standing, and there would be a house that is just completely blown away right next to it. And usually the explanation, even in those cases, was the kind of foundation and the kind of structure that was used in building that house that stood. And so as we think about the building of a house from a spiritual standpoint, and that's where the lesson is, there's just one difference in what will stand and what will fall. All of us are going to build a house. And most people that you and I know, spiritually speaking, are sincere and want to build the right kind of house. I really think that's true. With most of the people that you and I know and have conversations with them, at least those that that believe in Christ as a fact, most of those, I believe, are sincere and want to build the right kind of house. And certainly all of us are going to have the rains come. All of us are going to have the floods come. There may be different types of floods in different ways, and all of us are going to have the winds blow. Spiritually speaking, that means all of us are going to face those difficulties in life. They were alike in that. But what makes the difference? Jesus explained it very clearly. Did you notice as he was describing the wise man, he said, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." I'll liken him unto a man that built his house on rock. And then he says, "The one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him to the man who built his house on the sand." Now, even in those two statements, there's a likeness. They both heard. Did you notice that? They both heard the sayings of Christ. They're just alike on that point. Would you not agree with me that most everyone who lives in Jackson, Tennessee has heard the teachings of the Bible? There are some people that are ignorant of what is in the Bible, but I believe that most people, in general terms at least, have heard the Bible preached and preached and preached and preached again. And even those who are members of denomination have heard enough of gospel preaching by radio or television or in other ways that they have heard the gospel. I think if you were to ask most people, for example, tonight on the subject of baptism, does the Bible talk about baptism? They'd say yes. Does the Bible teach about it in these different passages? Yes, they know. And I suspect if you ask most of them, did Peter mention baptism in his sermon at the end of his sermon on Pentecost? They would say yes. But then differences begin to matter because some won't do what they have read or studied in the Word of God. The wise man and the foolish man are alike in that they both have heard. But the difference is the wise man heard and did. The foolish man heard and did not do. He did not do what the teaching told him that he should do. Now that may take the two different forms. It may take the form of just not doing anything. I know people today, and I would guess you do too. If you ask them, do you understand what to do to be a Christian? Yes. Do you believe that's what ought to be done to be a Christian? Yes, but they haven't done it. How many people have you heard down through the years say, I know I need to obey the gospel and I'm going to sometime, but they haven't done it. They have heard and have not done. And then there are those who have done something but have not done the right thing. This passage here in verse 22 is extremely eye-opening. Notice he said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, I've been a follower of yours. And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. How many people do you suppose in this town tonight would say, we are doing wonderful works in the Lord's kingdom? Now notice what Jesus said about those same works that the people called wonderful. He says they're really works of iniquity. What? What people are doing and claiming to be a part of the Lord's work, those are wonderful works. Jesus said, no, they're works of iniquity. The works of iniquity here describe the works that are mentioned in verse 22. We've been teaching in thy name. We've been doing these many deeds in thy name. We've done all these things. They're wonderful works. Jesus says, no, they're works of iniquity. Why? Because they were not doing what he had told them to do. The only difference between the wise man and the foolish man is whether or not they did what they were told to do in that message that they heard from God. And there's a great lesson for us to learn in this. We're talking about building on the rock. Building on a foundation that cannot be shaken. What does that mean? It means listening to God's word and doing what he tells us to do. Next week on Thursday morning, I'll be speaking on the lectureship at Fried Hardeman. I'm substituting for Hardeman Nichols, who's having to have hip surgery. And my subject is, hear God or listen to God to obey him. And I'm going to deal with some of the ideas that we've dealt with tonight in a little bit more detail. But back in Joshua 24:24, he says, I will listen to God to obey him. Now, isn't that saying the same thing we're saying tonight? Build on the rock, hear and do what he says. I will listen to God, I will hear him. And that involves understanding. And then he says, I will obey him. That's doing what he tells us to do. As long as you and I go to the Bible and listen to it to get the message and understand that message, and then we do that message in obedience, we will be building our house on the rock, our houses on the rock. And there is no storm that can come that can tear that house down if it is built on the rock. Jesus even said there may be a time that somebody can take your life. He can kill the body, but he cannot kill the soul. If we build our houses on the rock, meaning we listen to God and we do what God says, that's the description of the wise man that built on the rock, we can stand against anything that comes. Not because of our strength, but because of God's strength and that we are built on him. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to start that foundation and build on it by becoming a Christian. And for all of us who are Christians, we need to continue to listen to God, to hear his word, and then to the best of our ability and with his help, do it, obey it on a regular basis. If you need to be baptized into Christ or you need to ask for forgiveness tonight, come as together we stand and sing.
Almost persuaded.